Ja, hallo liebe Eishockey-Freunde, herzlich willkommen zu AFV Hansens Talking Hockey. Uncut, unfiltered, uncensored. Unser heutiger Gast, Eishockey-Profi Matt White von den Eisbären Berlin. Hey Matt, thanks that you're joining us. How are you?
Hey, thanks for having me. I'm good. Just hanging out at the apartment and trying to stay warm.
Yeah, so it's cold in Berlin also.
Yeah, it's a little colder than down south.
So, ganz kurz für unsere Fans ein paar Eckdaten zu Matts Hockey-Karriere. Ja, ich würde sagen, born and raised in California. So, er hat angefangen bei den Los Angeles Junior Kings, dann über Omaha, über die University Nebraska zu Ontario Reign und die letzte Station, die Milwaukee Admirals in der AHL, die das Farmteam der Nashville Predators sind. Matt, so dann nach Augsburg gewechselt, nach Europa, dann ein Gastspiel in der KHL in Russland und dann seit letzter Saison läuft er für die Eisbären Berlin auf und hat in seiner
Unfortunately.
Und da in seiner ersten Saison bei den Eisbären gleich deutscher Meister geworden. So you get the German Championship in your first season in Berlin. That's perfect, though.
Yeah, for sure. It was kind of it was a weird season last year, with everything, COVID and everyone having to deal with a lot of the same issues. So for us to win last year is pretty rewarding and made it worth it.
But I want to say you lose the last game in Augsburg against the Panthers in the regular season, just to say it. Okay.
Hey, that's okay.
So we are the champions of hearts.
Always. So you play for Milwaukee Admirals in the AHL.
Yep.
So, why did you get this step to NHL to Nashville, or didn't you have a chance to get there, or how was it?
I mean, it's when you're in the AHL, you're really close. It's obviously one step away, but if you don't actually get a phone call or hey, you're gonna go to the NHL, then you're probably not close enough. So I never got that phone call. I just was happy with being in Milwaukee, and we had a great team. So I don't know if I was close enough to get be in the AHL and then go to the NHL. So I'll never know, but being in the AHL, you are one step away from the NHL. So it's pretty close, and like I said, there's a lot of great players in that league, so you never know what's going on.
So when did you decide to do the big step to Europe then?
It was after my second year in Milwaukee. Yeah, second year in Milwaukee. Kind of just I was getting a little older, and I played in Europe for maybe 10 games in the Austrian League in 2013.
Okay, you played for who?
Ljubljana, the Slovenian team.
Ah,
They are mixed, right?
I was there for about 10 games, and I ended up leaving and coming back to North America and playing for about I think it was like total of 5 years. So I gave it a try and wanted to make some more money than I was making in the States, and being able to see a better schedule. And as getting older, it's a little easier on the body, and I don't regret my decision at all. So I enjoyed making the step over here.
So especially for you, normally I'm used to drink here Ramazzotti on the rocks. Today I drink beer.
Yeah.
Which is an Augustiner Oktoberfest beer. So is there any good beer in Berlin?
Yeah, they actually sell all the beers now. So there's
North Germany. Magic.
But you see, I try everything to bring you back to Augsburg. So.
I didn't know if beer can bring him back to Augsburg.
I don't know, but you like beer, I've heard.
Yeah, the German beer is good. It's to me, coming from the States, it's in my opinion, is better. German beer is better.
Yeah. That we agree, I think.
Yeah, I think most people that you talk to will agree.
So speaking of German beer, how is this the step or how was it to play in the KHL in Russia?
it was
different. Yeah.
No beer, only vodka.
Only vodka.
Yeah, they vodka. That's for sure. It was an experience. That's for sure. But we had five total other imports on the team, and I played with two other Canadians that we pretty much lived together. So, okay. It was nice. I mean, we had great guys. The language barrier was pretty difficult to overcome throughout the season. But you know, everyone on the team was nice. The staff, they, like I said, the language barrier was really tough, but we worked with it, and we made playoffs, and it was great hockey. The hockey's really skilled over there, so a lot of great players, and but it was a different experience, that's for sure.
Just for the audience, you did 60 games and 34 points.
Yep.
So, as always, you score.
Why have you decided to go back to Germany and not to stay there? I can imagine that you got an offer to stay there if you had such successful season there.
So the next season I was playing there in the KHL again with Riga.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we were not playing the greatest. So I believe we were in last place at that time. And we had a lot of imports, and we weren't, you know, I wasn't scoring. We weren't playing well at all. So
I know, I understand what you mean. I know what you mean. If I play with the two other guys, we play sometimes hockey.
Yeah.
And if I play with them together, it's also for me sometimes difficult to score. Because
you then don't.
No. If you play with
poor, you have problems players, with your stick, my brother. So and so far this season, how it goes well for you? So also 20 points, I think. But what's that with this home game disaster this season?
Yeah, it's a little bit crazy for us. I wish I had an answer for for that. Otherwise, you know, if we had an answer, it would be fixed a long time ago. So, the break was, this week-long break was really good for us to, you know, kind of regroup, and us starting at home will be nice, a nice way to kind of start back on the right page. And because last year, I think we were winning a lot of games, and it didn't matter if we were home or away, and we were really good at home. So, we kind of got used to that. And I think this year it's been kind of a shock to us on how bad we are at home. It's like we can't do anything correctly. So like I said, the break was really good for our team. A lot of guys got, you know, time to hang with their families and kind of recharge their batteries, and it'll be good for us to have our first and second game after the break at home, and we can get back on the right track at home.
Are you here in Germany with family or?
Yeah, my wife is here. Yeah. She's been out here all season, and she'll stay till the end of the season.
So we also have prepared something from a little hockey fan. I think you know him. It's Luca, the hockey fan from Augsburg, yeah. The little one who played for IV.
Yeah.
He always sent us some videos with questions.
The challenge is we will not translate the question.
Oh, great.
You have to answer them.
Okay. What about your German?
Is this a comedy show?
Yes.
This is. No, but Magic will translate it.
He is
a simultaneous translator, by the way.
Yeah, professional.
So.
Hallo Hansens, ich bin's wieder, der Luca. Hallo weltweit. Matt, hast du noch Freunde in Augsburg? Wie ist es in Konferenzstadien als Gast zu spielen? Ab wann habt ihr letztes Jahr gemerkt, dass ihr die Meisterschaft holen könnt?
So, okay. We are back.
By the way,
if you don't see it, there are a lot of sticks at the wall, and there's a little paper. Did you read what's on there?
I did not read the paper, but I'm going to.
This is the place reserved for the stick of Matt White.
I was gonna guess something like that. Yeah.
So you know what to do next time in Augsburg.
Yeah, I do. I got to find him, and hopefully we can get him a stick.
Yeah. Or you get the stick to us, and we get it to him.
Yeah.
So no problem. We manage it. By the way. So please, for the translation, Mark. Oh,
first question, do you still have friends in Augsburg?
Yeah, a lot of friends. For us, playing there for 2 years, we met a lot of people, and it's not the biggest city, but I had the chance to meet a lot of great people outside of hockey. So, our hockey team and the staff, the coaches, everyone that helps with the hockey team. We were really, really close. But not only them, there was people that I made friends with outside of hockey, whether it's, maybe a person that works at a restaurant or a coffee shop. Everyone was so nice to us and took really good care of us. So, I have a lot of friends and a lot of good friends on the hockey team still.
Are you still in contact also with some players from the old team and with Mike, I guess?
Yeah, definitely with, I would say, I don't know how many guys are left there. I would say whoever's still left in Augsburg that I played with there, I still talk to quite a bit.
So what was the second question, Sasha? I know the third one, but I forgot the second one.
Wie es im Stadion ist, als Gast zu spielen.
Genau.
Yeah. How is it to play as the guest
opponent?
Team in the Augsburg?
Opposing
guest
team.
Yeah, last year it was different. We didn't, with no fans, I was kind of disappointed. First time going back to Augsburg, there was no fans. So that was kind of disappointing. I was really excited to, kind of get back there and see the fans as an opposing team, because, being on the home team, it's crazy. It gives you a lot of positive energy. So when we went to Augsburg this season, I was really kind of shocked. I mean, I still get kind of, going through a full season with no fans to having fans early in the season. It's kind of a little shock to the system when you first get out there and all the arenas. So, and especially in Augsburg, it's really, really loud. So there's great fans there. And I was really happy to, get in front of the fans and play.
So is this real that everybody tells us that Augsburg is really loud? So is this what you feel as a player on the ice?
Or that is this it arena just polite? Or is it just a polite answer?
No, I mean, definitely, definitely as when I played in Augsburg, it was crazy. I mean, I definitely, and you know, we played really well, so mm-hmm. I can only imagine that the opposing teams, you know, heard. I mean, it's kind of hard not to hear that. So yeah, even when we played and I can't remember what the score was when we last played you a couple weeks ago. So but you know, even when we got scored on, it was really loud. So it doesn't matter if it's yeah, but I mean, even when you guys scored it doesn't have to be a full sold out building for the fans to be really, really loud. So that place always is really loud.
But frankly, from our perspective, we said losing that game is not a problem, because for us it was a really good game against Berlin. It was really close. And mm-hmm. I mean, we played, from my perspective, our maximum. We had sometimes a bit the feeling that maybe Berlin was not at the limit, so they always had a buffer to do a bit more if it's necessary. So but for us it was a really, really good game. So and it was, all in all, it was okay that you've won the game, I think.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely do remember it being really close. But yeah, at that point, I know you guys are dealing with some injuries, and I think at that time Valley was suspended for one or two games, yeah. So he wasn't playing. So I mean, it's during the season, it's kind of tough with, you know, things are going to happen with either injuries or guys missing time. So there's a lot of teams that one game you'll play them with their full lineup, one game you won't play them with their full lineup. So yeah, I mean, hopefully you know, all the guys get healthy, and I think next game it'll be just as close. You know, I think it was a one or two goal game, so it'll be really close again. It's always a hard game against Augsburg, I know that.
By the way, were you surprised that Paco Tuomi moved to Straubing? For us, that was a complete surprise.
Yeah, I, you know, going into November break, I think he didn't play two or three games in a row, maybe. You know, we have a lot of like, I guess, the under 23 rule and the import rule. So it's kind of tough for guys on our team with lineup. So I was very surprised that he actually left. No one really knew, actually. So Parker's a great guy though. So he sits right next to me in the locker room, and I've known him for a long time. And I'm glad that he's in Straubing, because he'll play a lot. So he'll do really well there, and I'm happy for him.
Okay, third question. Who is the better hockey player, Mitch Callahan or you? No, just kidding. That
was liar.
he's one of my good friends, though.
Yeah. We know.
Yeah.
When we had the talk with Mitch, he said that he now meet you and you play some hockey.
Yeah.
So you know each other for years, or?
Yeah, we always, so his dad and my older brother knew each other through hockey. My older brother is a lot older than I am, so he always played inline hockey with Mitch's dad, and we never played on the same team or against each other growing up, but we were always kind of in the same tournaments or same arena. Mm-hmm. And we never really were like close friends, but we knew each other. And then I want to say about maybe 10 years ago, I would say. We started becoming really good friends and, you know, hanging out all the time, especially when we go back in the summer to California, always seeing each other and everything like that. So he's a good guy. And I saw him this summer a couple of times, and hopefully when I'm in California, I can go see him and hang out with him a little bit.
Yeah, it was a pity what happens to him in Augsburg if he plays here. Because we have also contact with him and just chatting a little bit. And he said that, he wants to show what he can, but he can't do it. Why? I don't know.
Yeah,
but I think he's a much better hockey player than he shows us in Augsburg.
I completely agree with that. It was kind of like I don't know what happened in Augsburg. So, but just reading like through the stats, he's definitely a much better player than that. So it's unfortunate that it ended like that, but. You know, everyone knows that he's a much better player than that. So I'm glad that he's, you know, especially with his leg too. So I'm glad he's getting healthy and rehabbing his leg. And, you know, I'm not sure if he's going to be able to play hockey anymore, but
he's retired at the moment. Yeah.
So we'll, it's kind of tough.
Yeah. I think he's coaching the LA Junior Kings.
Yeah.
At the moment.
Yeah, I think it's one of those Southern California teams. So
yeah.
They are loads, I guess.
So then please the third question.
Third question is Matt, at what point, when have you realized last season that you can win the championship? Was it
because
at the beginning or
yeah, but because all the games, you lost the first ones, and then you come back always. You come back.
Yeah.
Yes, and you had a change in the team at the beginning of the season. So
yeah,
I know that Berlin always has the objective to win the championship.
Yeah,
that's their. Understanding that's always, but you as a team or you as a player, was there a special moment when you said, okay, I guess we can make it this year?
Yeah, I mean, like you said, like everyone, every team, especially in the league, like they go into the season, they think and they want to win the championship. That's the goal. So you know, that was our mindset, and we played very, very well. Those first, I think it was 24 games with the North teams.
Mm-hmm.
And then they told us finally that they were going to bring those, South games in, those 14 South games. And, so that was a little, we were a little shocked by that at first, just cause you know, I mean, we were excited at the same time because we were going to play new teams. But we knew it was going to be a challenge cause we were, you know, playing the same teams all the time. And then you had to, you know, get ready for something new with not that much time to prepare. So I think we had that in our mind that, you know, we had such a good team that we were, you know, if we got into playoffs at a playing healthy and, you know, having all of our guys in the lineup, we were going to win. And I shouldn't say, you know, like guarantee win, but we had a very good chance of winning. So but those all three rounds, you know, losing that first game, we're like, man, that's that kind of hurt us because they were all at home. And you know, our like I said, our team was playing really well and we were all
especially in this short series.
Yeah, I know exactly. Mm-hmm. I think the most confident that I felt as a player for our team was actually in the finals when we lost game one. You know, the first round losing game one, it was kind of like we were shocked and we were surprised. And then the second series, you know, Ingolstadt's really, they just got done beating, I think it was Munich. And they beat us the first game. So we're like, wow, this is going to be a tough one. And we were able to win those two games. So after we lost the first game against Wolfsburg, we kind of all were like, you know, we've been here twice before and there's nothing to panic about. So I think that, I think being in that situation multiple times in the playoffs, it kind of helped our team settle down and not worry too much.
Was it a topic? Was it a topic in the team that the fans, but also some of the press said during the season that the Southern division is much better than the Northern division? Have you heard that, or
yeah,
has that motivated you?
Yeah, I heard it last season. Our team heard it last season for sure. You're gonna have people, you know, I think it's just people trying to, you know, write things in the paper or in the media. So there's good teams in any league. There's good teams in whatever part of the place you're playing in. So it doesn't matter if it's north, south, east, yeah, west.
We know that it was wrong, and I say it's nothing better for a coach to motivate the team than such statements. Yeah
for sure. We heard it a couple times, but I think that was more in the beginning of the season. We didn't hear it too much towards the end or in the playoffs at all. So our coach and our coaching staff and the players were really good at kind of anything from the outside of the locker room kind of, you know, was not really talked about or listened to be honest.
Yeah. And it was a Northern final, huh?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah, for sure.
So, Matt, your number 97, what's about that?
Is this
a meaning or?
It's just when I, growing up, when I started playing hockey, my favorite hockey player was Jeremy Roenick. And at the time he was 27. And so I was number 27 to start. And then when he went to 97, I switched to 97.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I originally started at 27 when he was on Chicago Blackhawks.
Yeah. And you come around in your hockey career a lot. And do you have pre-game rituals, or do you know any weird pre-game rituals from your teammates?
I don't think they're weird. For everyone who listens to this probably thinks they're weird, but I usually eat the same thing the night before a game and for pre-game meal, obviously, and then pre-game nap. It doesn't matter how long it is, but have to nap for sure on game day. And then I usually kind of I get into the rink early and have two cups of coffee before the game at some point. And I tape my sticks all my sticks that I'm going to use in the game the day before a game. I don't like taping them the game day.
Okay.
Yeah. That one's probably one of the weird ones that I just kind of, on game days, I kind of like to do the least amount.
Yeah, but these things, always the same meal, that's we heard often. A lot of players do that, I think. It's like running a marathon. If you know what's good for you, you do it every time the same.
Oh yeah, for sure. I think the two biggest ones are the meal and the nap, for sure. Yeah. For most, I would say most hockey players.
I have no shower.
Oh, I shower a lot, yeah.
but not before the game.
Oh,
directly before the game.
I shower that's probably a weird one that people might think is I do shower before warm-ups, before I put my gear on.
After the pre-rink warm-ups, or?
No, before this is before the game.
Before the game.
Yeah, I for sure shower after I take my gear off and leave the
ring. I don't know. So you shower twice.
Yes, I shower. Yeah, but yeah. So when I get to the arena for the game, I shower before warm-ups, before I put my gear on.
Uh huh. And other things you remember if you think about weird things during the game or something like that, what happens to you?
If I would say during the game, no, I kind of just everyone kind of sits next to their guys that they're playing with on their line, so you're kind of around the same people. And if the line changes, you're around the same guys that you're playing with at that time. So nothing, especially during the game and on the bench, you have to be always aware because, you know, lines change all the time. And if a player's in the penalty box or something happens, you have to know what's going on. So nothing, you know, I would say nothing. It's not a ritual or no routine thing. I would say there's stuff that happens by surprise, maybe where guys don't, you know, aren't sure what's going to happen. And you always got to be on your toes, ready for whatever might happen on the bench.
I will not ask you who will become the German champion this year, because I know the answer. But who will win the Stanley Cup this season?
Oh, I have.
You need to know it. I bet a lot.
Yeah, I. I haven't watched too much NHL, to be honest. I might have to go with, since two of my friends are on the team, I might just have to stay with Tampa.
Yeah, they have a good team.
So you went to Tampa or after
No, just two of my friends are on that team.
Okay.
Yeah. So hopefully, you know, it's always good to see some friends win in anything. So, you know, even though they've won a lot, but I want to have my friends win stuff.
So one thing I always want to ask you, I don't know if you remember this goal you scored for the Augsburg team. I think it was against Düsseldorf in the playoffs, and you was on that goal line. You have an ankle like no ankle to the goal.
Yeah. I think
you remember.
Actually,
so what's going on in your head if you get this shot?
You made a similar goal against Augsburg, right?
Yeah.
Marcus Keller.
Yeah.
I do practice that shot a lot, but it all comes from growing up, like playing inline hockey. In inline hockey, it's guys are really, really creative, and they could, you know, shoot the puck really hard because the puck's a little lighter. Mm-hmm. So it's I would say like the no angle high shots are very, very popular shots. So, you know, growing up, that was just a normal thing in inline hockey. So it was kind of the popular thing as a kid, you know, make it look cool. now I kind of, in practice, I sometimes, you know, I feel bad because I do hit the goalies like, you know, really high, and I, you know, I don't want to hurt them. But I do practice that more, you know, especially in ice hockey now. I in warm up stuff, I practice it. So I was glad that it's actually paid off.
So If you had that puck, you see the gap, or you're just shooting?
I would say sometimes I do see it, but you know, not like I said, you know, growing up I was just kind of used to it. So now if I kind of look at the goalie and I could just, you know, I would be lying if I said, you know, I see the spot every time I because, you know, not all the time I just kind of try to place it in that area. And if the goalie is down in a weird position, I think it's a little easier and it'll go in. But, you know, sometimes there's been a lot of times where I've hit the goalie in the head or missed the net and it doesn't look good at all. So, I would say half and half where, you know, sometimes I just kind of try to put it in that area.
But that's a good question. I mean, on your level, do you analyze also the goalies of the opponents? Do you know them, their strengths and their weaknesses, or do?
Yeah, for sure. You know, there's, especially now with, you know, hockey having so much video and all that stuff, all teams now are, you know, they're, you know, kind of analyzing players, goalies, and all the tricks that, you know, anyone does. So there's no secrets really anymore. So you really got to study on like who you're playing against and, you know, what they do often. So it, for me, it's kind of nice that, you know, we have those resources to kind of know who, you know, we're shooting against, because, you know, sometimes when you play a goalie you haven't noticed, or a new goalie, you know, you don't have much time to, you know, figure out. You kind of just, and if he's playing really well that game, you know what, you're in trouble, because you know hockey's really not that long of a game. It's so maybe if you take the first period to try to figure out the goalie and he's playing really well, you know, you don't have much time. But that's what's kind of nice about having all the video and stuff. It helps it a little, makes it a little easier for us to analyze.
So no secrets except the refs. Some decisions of the refs, but
yeah, I might get in trouble if I say something bad.
You don't have to. We got a very good relationship to them, and for sure we criticize them really often also.
Yeah,
but no ref, no game at the end of the day.
For sure, yeah. No, they do a good job.
So last question, what's your favorite hockey movie?
Ooh, I would say probably Youngblood.
Ah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Have you seen that?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, sure.
You're grown up with it.
Yeah, I would say Youngblood.
Also Slapshot, of course.
Oh yeah. Yeah. I would say, you know, all the hockey movies they made are pretty good, but if I had to pick one, it would be Youngblood.
Yeah. And you know, there's an interview with Rob Lowe and they asked him this question and he said Slapshot. Of course he did. Yeah, Matt. Okay. Then thanks for your time. We will publish it these days. I will let you know. And okay. I wish you all the best for the rest of the season.
Thank you, and
hope to see you back in Augsburg.
Thank you, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me on, and it's always great seeing you guys. So, and hopefully I could stay a little longer and chat with you guys when we come back to Augsburg.
Of course. So you can stay a little longer after I stop the recording.
Okay.
And have a little chat. Thanks.
Sounds good.
Matt, bye.
Bye.